Hello everybody and welcome to episode 14 of The Synopsis. I am Zach and welcome back to the podcast. Welcome to the rabbit hole we are going to be going down today. And we should have a good episode today. We're actually going to continue from what we talked about last podcast. And that would be about the missing people, the unidentified people, theories, conspiracies and all that stuff. So today we're going to add a couple of extra things into that, talk about it a little bit. But first, as always on the podcast, we have to do the This Time Online, and oh my goodness, guys, This Time Online is going to be a very good segment, so stay tuned for that. As always, thank you for listening, and welcome to episode 14 of The Synopsis. So a lot of things are trending today online, so let's get right into the discussion about them. First thing we are going to talk about is the El Paso shooting. Obviously, we all know about that, and the Daytona shooting in Ohio. The El Paso suspect's mother called the police about the gun purchases that her son had made. So she had actually contacted the police about all of this, saying that he owns an AK-type firearm, that she called up the police, and now attorneys and lawyers are getting involved in this case because she already gave a warning saying that, hey, he's not stable, something's wrong, I don't understand why he would buy these. But what ended up happening is he opened up fire in the El Paso Walmart, killed 22 people, injured over 24. He's been charged with capital murder and is being held without bond in an El Paso County detention facility. Officials are saying that they're going to try and seek the death penalty for this gentleman. I'm not going to mention him by name because I don't feel like giving that person the attention with their name is exactly what they want. It was the same with the Batman cinema stuff, what happened there. It's the same here. Every time somebody does needless killings or murders or something like that, it's just so they can get their name out there. And at the end of the day, if we don't help by saying their name in the news, we just mention those victims, we mention what happened, it doesn't give them the publicity they are seeking for. We all know he was a Trump supporter. We all know he was against the Mexicans being in the country, or the aliens, or whatever you want to call them. His main focus was Hispanics and Mexicans. That's what he said. His words, not mine. So seeking the death penalty is definitely something that may be justified. Now, people are against the death penalty, and I'm on the fence about the death penalty. I feel like if you killed that many people and you are on death row and that is your sentence, you kind of got away with it a little bit. And let me explain myself when I say this. You are killing 22 people, you're injuring 24, 26 people, and you're kind of getting away with it. You're not really serving your time, you're not really getting punished for it. Your punishment is death. Okay, cool, but what about the 50, 60, 70 years he could be in jail for and be getting his ass handed to him, or being little, you know, being Big Mo's little bitch or something like that? Giving that person the death penalty, even though a lot of people may think it is right and a lot of people may agree with it, there's always that other side of, this man just killed all these people, hurt all these people, and all we're going to do is kill him. They could have shot him right there and then, and that would have ended everything. Wouldn't even have to charge him, wouldn't have to waste the government's time, wouldn't have to waste the resources, none of that. So in my personal opinion, he shouldn't be sentenced to death penalty. He should be sentenced to life in prison without parole, no visitations, nothing helpful for him whatsoever. So he is just stuck in a room. Even throw him in, if you throw him in the El Paso jail, he's going to be in a jail full of Hispanics. He's not going to escape unpunished. Something's going to happen to that man. So, death penalty may be a little far out there. To me, it's a kind of a cop-out, kind of giving him what he wanted, a quick escape clause. But hey, that's just my opinion. Now, talking about El Paso and Hispanics, let's move on to the Mississippi raids that ICE have just done today. Over 600 people were raided in a working facility. A lot of these workers were undocumented or illegal, and ICE kind of came in. 628 people, like I said, were detained. A lot of them are probably being deported, and this is a tie-in because when the Daytona shootings, when the El Paso shootings, a lot of people didn't want to go for medical help because of ICE. This is fucked up, and the reason I say it's fucked up is this. A lot of these people are coming over to this country to get work and to try and make a better life for their family. I'm one of them. I may not be Hispanic, I'm a white English male, okay? But I came over to America to make a better life for myself and definitely make a better life for my family. And the family thing obviously came after I moved over here with my wife and my daughter, but a lot of these people have to come over here because they don't have that option. They have to work because they don't get the money they need to support their family. Whether it be from the cartel taking money for them, or you got to remember this. Mexico is full of gangs, it's full of drugs. That's how they do things. It's basically drugs or you get killed, or you're part of the gang, you pay your taxes to them, or they take your street corner, they take your shop, whatever it may be, they'll take it from you. So everyone comes over here to try and make a better life for their family. Now these people are scared in El Paso to go to a medical facility after being shot with an AK rifle. Let that just sit in. We have military soldiers being shot with AK rifles who are shipped back to the States to get top class medical attention. These people are so scared of being deported by ICE. Now, I know what a lot of you may be thinking, and again, we're not going to get into politics, immigration, and that shit. I'm just giving you my personal opinion on this. If you're going to a hospital, treatment is first. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter where you're from. The human life is more valuable than showing me paperwork saying that you should be here. If I was in Mexico and I got shot and I went to a Mexican hospital, I would expect them to treat me. I wouldn't expect them to say, no, you're not Mexican, you don't have paperwork, get out. If you go to any country, if you're American and you went to Australia or you went to England or something like that, and they said to you, okay, you don't have legal documentation saying that you're a resident of Australia or England or anything like that, as far as we're concerned, you don't exist here, so we're not going to treat you. You'd be pissed off as well, right? You'd be mad. So with the ICE storms in Mississippi, and I'm not talking about the snow, I'm talking about ICE raiding buildings, and this is becoming a new trend where ICE is starting to raid people's buildings, they're starting to raid people's houses, get themselves an attorney. A lot of people have gotten themselves an immigration lawyer because technically ICE cannot enter somebody's house without their permission or without the door being opened. They are not police, they are immigration officials. Therefore, they cannot just storm your house without proper etiquette or whatever the law says. They cannot just storm into your house, simple as that. So Mississippi has been known for this ICE raid. A lot of people are upset about it, and rightfully so. Like I said, we're in 2019 now. We're in a world where everybody should be working together to make a better world, not worrying about where people are from, but worrying about where we're going to. It doesn't matter if you came from a different country to live in the States or to live in Sweden, Denmark, Italy, Australia, it doesn't matter. You got to think about it like this. We came over to make something better, so why not work as a group to make everything better, instead of being that individual who's like, no, screw you guys, go back to where you came from. That doesn't work. Here's an example for me. I've worked in the restaurant industry. I had to give a customer her check once. She said she had a gift card, whatever it may be, and it didn't go through. She said whatever was left on the card, charge it to her credit card. So that's what I did. I came back and said, look, man, this didn't work. I'm going to return this to you with the receipt and with your credit card. If for some reason you can get this card to work, we'll come back, we'll refund it to you, and we'll put it on this card. This woman said to me, and I quote, I don't know about where you're from, but where I am from, we don't do things like that. That was the most ignorant shit I've ever heard in my life, okay? Number one, I am speaking perfectly good English, and for this podcast, I slow down the way I talk so everybody can understand me, and I do that at work and in my daily life, so people aren't like, huh, what did you say? Oh my god, you're English? That was my American impression, so don't knock me on that. But she said that, and I was like, you ignorant bitch. And I said that to her, I said, that's the most ignorant thing I ever heard, and she's like, what do you mean? Well, I'm not speaking in a different language to you, I'm speaking perfectly English to you, and I'm explaining the situation in which you said to me, if there's anything left, put it on my credit card. The whole amount was left because your card didn't work. It's not my fault that you decided to go take a seat without payment being processed, or you decided to just assume it was taken care of and not, that's that. That's not on me, that's on you. It's not my fault your janky old ass couldn't figure out how to work a fucking card. So you to say to me, that's not how we do things here? Bitch, I probably know more about America than you do, because I had to learn a lot of that shit to get over here to begin with, okay? So don't knock people just because they're not from this area. Work with those people, work with your friends, work with your family, and maybe in the future for our kids, for our grandkids, whatever it may be, they'll have a much better chance of living and surviving than we do right now, because right now, the world's kind of fucked. And I don't care who you are, you can say what you want, forget politics, forget immigration, forget everything. As a whole entire country, whole entire world, we're fucked. And you're like, oh, Zach, that's not true. There's mass killings in Zimbabwe every day. There's mass killings in India, in China, Japan, even in America. 270 active shootings this year alone. That's more than days we've had this year. You can't tell me something isn't wrong with the world. And I'm not saying it's the people in charge, I'm not saying it's anything like that. What I'm saying is, we're at that point right now in life cycle where we need to figure something out because it's just going to shit every single day. And every day people continue to let shit happen, is every day it's going to get worse. Even with the plastic straw movement that's on Instagram recently. Oh, use a metal straw, save the turtles. Yes, do that, or recycle the straw. Do something to help the world. Because once you kill off the turtles, you're starting to kill off other wildlife. Did you know giraffes are on the extinction list? I bet you didn't, because that isn't publicized in the news. But hey, what Kim Kardashian ate for lunch is, right? Makes sense, doesn't it? Why are we in this world? I'll talk about Dr. Stone. It's an anime that I watched. I wasn't into it at first, but now I'm really into it. I kind of like it. I dig it. It's a vibe. If you haven't watched it, check it out on Crunchyroll. You can download the app for free, and you can watch the show for free. You will get commercials. You can pay for it. VIP is $4.99 a month. Not sponsored, hashtagged, but definitely check it out, Dr. Stone. The purpose of the story is the whole entire world got attacked by some gas or something, and they turned all into stone. 3,700 years later, and for my people like my brother who listens to this and can't figure that out, that's 3,700, Keanu, okay? Good for you. Follow him on Twitch at KScout03, and follow Elisa on Twitch at OrangePandaGames, two S's at the end. Off track, I'm sorry. So, everyone's turned into stone. 3,700 years later, Senku, who is the main character, breaks out of this stone and finally figures out how to get other people to break out of this stone casket they're basically in. They're back in the olden years. There's nothing left. It's all Stone Age again. So now he's trying to build up civilization. That's where we need to be at right now. Because if we're not trying to build a better civilization, what are we doing? Why are we going back and reverting into caveman era, into that kind of mentality? We need to be looking to the future to make the world better, not to fuck it up. That's just my two cents. And with that being said, we're going to move on to the last This Time Online. And everybody has heard about this. This is some outroar, to say the least. You may have never heard of this girl until today. Brooke Holtz is a YouTuber. She does everything on her YouTube is with her and her dog. She accidentally, a couple of days ago, uploaded an unedited file of what she was doing with her dog. The idea was pranking my dog with cellophane. If you are triggered by animal cruelty, do not look this video up, but it's all over Twitter. If you go on, if you search Keemstar, hits his pinned tweet, you can see it, you can see what happened, but I'm going to give you a rundown in case you don't want to watch it. So in the actual video that she posted on YouTube, it was trying to prank her dog, and you know, they do the little text that comes up saying bork and stuff like that to try and make it cutesy. She accidentally uploaded before that the unedited raw footage, and in this footage the dog is jumping on her and she is pushing the dog away, she's beating the dog, she's slapping the dog, she even spat on the dog at one point. Now Brooke has released a statement saying that basically she didn't spit on her dog, it was wrong for her to treat her dog like that, to yell at him or whatever, to slap him, to beat him, because she was having, and I quote, a rough day. It doesn't matter how rough your day is, you need to look after your animals, you need to take care of them. I have two golden labs and I have two cats. The only times I yell at my dogs are if they're trying to hump or if they're trying to kill the cats or chase the cats around. The cats are like 5 pounds, they're 90 pounds. You need to say, hey, come here, stop chasing the cats or something like that. This woman was physically manhandling this Doberman Pinscher, yanking it across the floor, throwing it to the ground, pushing it away, slapping it, spitting on it. She never apologizes in this pinned tweet that she has right now. It's a 4-page tweet. Check it out. It's on her, it's at Brooke on her Twitter, at Brooke Holt, or whatever. I'm not trying to promote her, but if you want to check it out, check it out. It's 4 pages of basically her making excuses, but never actually apologizing of what she did to this poor animal. Now, if you do watch the video, leave me a message on anchor.fm. Use the voice feature app. Leave me a message or send me a tweet at I Like Talis Chef. Or even on our new Instagram, it's at The Synopsis Podcast. There is underscores after the and synopsis. You check us out, we'll be on there. Leave a comment on the newest picture or the newest post and be like, yo, I agree with you, I disagree with you. Let me know, interact with me more. That way we can get more episodes, more fans, all that stuff. But Brooke is done. She is over. Cancel Brooke Party is officially, should be trending. And maybe I'll hashtag that, Cancel Brooke Party. We'll see if we can get it trending. And yeah, this bitch needs to have her dog taken away from her. The LAPD have actually launched an internal investigation over animal cruelty because of this video. So there's obviously enough evidence there for them to believe that. So hopefully this dog gets taken away, gets rehomed to a better owner, and she cannot have animals again. We just had one man who was charged of stabbing a police dog, the first of our kind to be charged for cruelty to animals, which is about damn time that we have something like that. So hopefully this goes the same route and she gets in trouble. With that being said, guys, this has been This Time Online. We're going to jump into the podcast now about all our disappearing people, our mysterious people, all that stuff. And the first person I think we're going to start with today is going to be, who should we talk about? There's a lot of people we could talk about, honestly. Let's talk about the present day hipster at the 1941 bridge opening. If you haven't checked it out, then check it out, listen to this podcast. We're going to go through a couple of these today. We're going to talk about Amelia Earhart, we're going to talk about Green Boots, and potentially a couple more before we end the podcast. So sit back, relax. If it's anything like the last one, you're going to be here for a minute. You might need some snacks, you might need to clean your kitchen, I don't know. But listen to us however you want. Spotify, Apple, podcasts, Anchor.fm, any of that stuff, guys. We're all there, we're all available. We have our 5-star reviews. So, again, thank you for listening to the synopsis, and let's get right into it after this quick, you guessed it, Anchor commercial break. The year is 1941, and we are at the reopening of the Golden Bridge in British Columbia, known as the South Fork Bridge. There was a picture taken, and I'm sure this has made the rounds on the internet. It became very popular in 2011. He was known as a time-traveling hipster. And the reason he was known as this is as follows. The picture that was taken, and I'll describe it to you guys. There's lots of men in there. There's lots of women in there. All the men have hats. All the women, like, you know, they're all fancy dressed, all that stuff, like you would expect in the 40s. There's one man that sticks out. And this man doesn't look like he belongs. He has sunglasses on. He looks like he's holding a digital camera, and he looks like he's wearing like a hoodie slash sweater kind of thing, modern day kind of hairstyle, and he's got a stubbly beard. Now back then, there wasn't really stubbly beards, it was clean shaven most of the time. You know, like the old gangster movies where you see the 40s, like the one with Scarface, the original Scarface, not with Al Pacino, the original one with Paul Mooney, who played Tony Montana. It was based on Al Capone's life. And that's the basis of the idea of the Scarface movie. Getting a little bit off topic, but that's the kind of image you want to have. The Al Capone image of clean shaven, the fancy bowler hat, all that good stuff. Looking gangster 40 style. This one man, though, is in this picture. He looks a very modern era. Now remember, this is in 1941, so a lot of people saw this. It was actually on display at the Museums and Web 2011 conference in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And people saw this picture and they were like, what the hell? Who is this guy? Is this a Photoshop? Is this one of those where you take the picture and you put somebody else in it to like describe how times have changed or something like that? That wasn't the case. Because there have been times where people Photoshop like a picture of somebody who doesn't belong into another picture or something like that. And it gives it the illusion that somebody else is there. So they saw this picture and they was like, hey, what's this? And the dude goes, we just found it, put it up there, etc, etc. And they said, okay, well, this guy looks like he's out of place. What do we do here? Let's figure this out. Let's talk to some photo people, you know, the photo experts, Photoshop experts, all that good stuff, to see if this is doctored. Because if this is a doctored picture, then it's not as rare as anyone thinks. It's whatever. Everyone's like, oh, this is just a shitty picture that somebody frauded. So they took it to an expert. Multiple experts looked at it, and they all said the same thing. I said, this isn't a doctored picture, this is a legitimate photograph. This was in 1941, so it's probably a Polaroid. It probably got expanded. But they all said, no, this is a legitimate photograph. We're not sure how this guy's here or who he is. Now, the man's never ever been found out as who he is. There's never been an ID on him. It's just kind of been known as a time-traveling hipster. And when you look at the photograph, you can see why he's known as that. Because he looks like he doesn't belong. He clearly doesn't belong in that scene, in that scenario. If you look down in the picture, like I said earlier, in the photograph, he looks like he's holding one of the new cameras, like the LCRs or something like that. He looks like he's holding a brand new camera. Which brings the question up to, if he is a time traveler, why has he got an old ass camera? If he's traveling in time, it wasn't anytime soon, which means he's probably got an old camera. So maybe this is a time traveler, and maybe he thought, well, if I'm going back in time, let me find an old camera that I can take there to make me blend in. And he took a camera that was too new back into that era. Now, that's just a theory. You know, don't say anything, you know, like, it is what it, don't assume that I'm right, but that's one theory. So, they researched a little bit into this photograph, and they were like, okay, well, maybe there's an explanation. So, apparently the sunglasses, what the man was wearing, actually first appeared in the world in 1920. So, people are like, okay, well, that kind of makes sense. He could be a rich man. You know, he might be rich. They have the sunglasses, you know, they're expensive, a new style, everyone's chilling, it's a vibe. I don't know. And then they looked at the photograph again, and they said, okay, it looks like he's wearing a t-shirt that has print on it. But on closer inspection, it seems it's a sweater with a sewn-on emblem, which is mainly worn in that period by sports teams or, like, jockeys, jocks, stuff like that. It looked like it was for the Montreal Maroons, which was an ice hockey team from that era. So now people are like, okay, well, maybe this guy isn't a time traveler. Maybe he's just a weird dude who just found his way over here and wants to see this reopening of this bridge. So more investigation was done, and they found out about the sunglasses, they found out about the shirt, and they came to the conclusion that this dude just had a really weird fashion sense for that time. Like, he was out there, like, he was way ahead of his time, like 60 years ahead of his time. So they said that this guy wasn't a time traveler. They say that. There's obviously still theories that it's a hide. The government are hiding it. They're covering it up because this guy actually was a time traveler and he didn't want to be found, and they actually found his actual name and all this other shit. But at the end of the day, from what the evidence was suggesting, this time traveling hipster was nothing more than a man who had a unique fashion sense and was just totally out there. They said the thing that looked like a camera wasn't a camera, maybe like a book or something, but even then, it looks like a camera. So for them to say it's a book or some shit like that, they said he didn't have anything on him that said he was from a different time period or anything that would suggest that. So that's what they said about it. It's open to interpretation. Like I said, a lot of people still think it's a time traveler. A lot of people think it's a cover-up by the government. Me personally, I find stuff like this interesting, so whether it's real or not, or there's an explanation for it, I love this kind of shit. This kind of shit is the stuff that makes you think, oh wow, what if there was this, and what if, you know, people were time traveling and all this other stuff. It's fun to me. It's fun to find out. And speaking of the time traveling, let's talk about Charlie Chaplin real quick. Because I know the time traveling hipster, things with this, with the time traveling people and the mysterious things, you got to really research it, you got to really dive into it. The time traveling hipster doesn't have a lot of information about him, because it's just a photograph. You're looking at a photograph, and you're making the assumption from looking at the photograph. But this Charlie Chaplin film is very interesting. So in 2010, there was a video clip uploaded to YouTube, and it was called Chaplin's Time Traveler. And it looks at the bonus material that was in a DVD of Charlie Chaplin's film, which was The Circus. It was a 1928 project, okay? And one scene, a woman is seen walking by holding an object close to her ear that looks like a thin black device and looks like a phone. They're saying it was an Apple phone, like an iPhone, something like that. And they were very confused. They were like, okay, well, this is a Charlie Chaplin movie. This isn't a guy who's just a random person in a photograph. This is one of the biggest names, if not the biggest name, in cinematic history. So he looks at this this video, and he sees this woman walking past, and she's walking by a horse, and right behind it is the sign that says Charlie Chaplin's a Circus. This woman's walking behind this horse, and she does look like she's holding a cell phone to her ear. Now, you're looking at the pictograph, the photo, the video, whatever it may be. If you look at the photograph of it, you'll be able to see it a lot more clearer because it's a still image, obviously. But if you're looking at the video, like I said, look it up on YouTube, Chaplin's Time Traveler. Okay, very interesting shit. It looks like she's holding the cell phone. Now, people have investigated this until the day is old and the night is young, so to say. And the conclusion that a lot of people came to is, hey, it is actually a cell phone. Somebody's traveled in time. She's accidentally wandered upon Charlie Chaplin's set and got caught. That's what a lot of people think. Now, again, with these conspiracy theories / time traveling, all these are theories. They're not factual, obviously. You have to look at it like this, though. We have enough technology in the world to make something like this happen. We know we do. We have nuclear weapons. We have cloaking devices now. We have a lot of shit that we're working on. So people who are thinking about time traveling, they're not far off the, you know, they're not far out there anymore. Like, time traveling has become a big thing in our modern age. Doctor Who has made it really big. Obviously, him being the last of the Time Lords and him traveling in time to save things from different time periods and stuff like that. It's all sci-fi entertainment, but also they try and base it off of technology that we have nowadays. This is making it very popular about time traveling theories. And there's been so many shows about it. There's been so much quote-unquote evidence for my podcast listeners that was air quotes for the live stream listeners. Hey, what's up? There's only a couple of you, but hey, how's it going? So this evidence is all being brought forward, and again, you know, we have the conspiracies like Bush did 9/11 and stuff like that. They're the conspiracies that everyone's like, okay, you're a little bit out there, or it makes sense. But time traveling is one of those where people are like, okay, we could get behind that because it could be a legitimate thing. But looking at this Chaplin movie, I noticed in my last podcast, I say so a lot. I'm trying to cut that back. So ironically, I just said it then. Different transitions or different wordage may be used. It may sound a little bit weird, but that's me trying to stop using that word as much. Which brings me back to Charlie Chaplin and the movie. The woman has this portable device to her ear. Now, scientists and researchers have disputed the time traveler case, obviously, and they said, and I quote, this was probably a portable hearing aid device. Now, back in those days, hearing aids weren't like they are now, where you just clip it in. There's many different types of hearing aids now, like there is headphones. You got the Beats, you got the AirPods. AirPods are really, really popular right now. AirPods, I'm going to get off topic here. AirPods are risky, dude. Don't have a wire. If you drop it, you might lose it. And if you lose one, you've basically lost your whole set. For $200? Nah, Dougie, I'm good. That's off the point. This woman had a portable hearing aid, like I was saying. Because back then, they didn't have the ability or the availability, even the knowledge, to put a hearing aid just inside your eardrum, or to put it on the back of your ear, whatever your hearing problem may be, and then you can hear again. They didn't have this option back then. This woman was carrying this hearing aid around so she could hear. That's what the scientists were saying. Now, theorists are obviously going to say, no, this isn't the case. This is just science saying, hey, this is what it is. But the reality is, this woman went back in time to see a Charlie Chaplin walk on a movie set, and this was her way of saying, hey, time travel is happening. It was her way of verifying it to the rest of the world, because people would see it and then people would be able to know. Either way, we see both of these things with the time traveling hipster and with the Chaplin woman open to interpretation. Simple as that. You can have interpretation all day long. You cannot see because of the quality of the photographs. Obviously, they were both in the, one was in the 40s and one was in the 20s. Look how far along we've come in just the last 10 years of photography and cameras and pixels and all that stuff. It's ridiculous. So to try and analyze a photograph from that far back, you're going to be playing a guessing game. And that's why both of these theories are still up in the air and still open to interpretation to this day. Regardless of what science says, and science says, you know, this is what it was, people are still going to have the theories and the conspiracies out there. And that's why we're doing this episode, to make sure that we have those out there. And either way, the options are out there. You guys can make your own decision. With that being said, let's go on. We're going to go into our next segment, our next feature. It's going to be about Amelia Earhart. And I know everyone who's listening to this podcast knows who Amelia Earhart is. If you don't, she was an aviator, which is a pilot, commonly known in our world. And she is best known for being the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean. But what everyone else is talking about is how she disappeared, why she disappeared, and what happened after her flight. So, next segment is Amelia Earhart. Stay tuned, you're not going to want to miss it right here on The Synopsis. Amelia Mary Earhart, born July 24th, 1897. We're going to talk about this woman today. She was an American aviation pioneer and also an author. Like I said earlier, she was the first female aviator to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean. She set a bunch of records, wrote a bunch of books about flying and stuff like that, and she was instrumental in the formation of the 99s, which is an organization for female pilots. With that being said, and those introductions out of the way, let's talk about why we're really here. And that is the disappearance of Amelia Earhart. Now, this is one of those things where there's so many theories about it, and there's so much speculation about how she disappeared, when she disappeared. So let's talk about the disappearance and the theories on Amelia's disappearance and eventual end of life, because no one's ever found her body. There is, obviously, she's dead now. There's no way she's still alive, but nobody ever found the body. Nobody ever found her bones, and she was just taken as disappeared and assumed dead. So she was taking the flight. It was supposed to be from Lae Airfield to Howland Island. It was about 2,500 miles and the longest flight plan that she ever did. Amelia was with her co-pilot Noonan as the flight took off, and within 20 to 30 minutes of the flight, all radio contact was gone. That was it. Last everyone heard of Amelia Earhart and Noonan. I don't know his first name, sorry. I'm going to call him Noonan and Amelia because saying Earhart all the time, it's getting old for me to constantly say. So Amelia and Noonan are how they're going to be known. They lost radio contact with these two people, and that was the last anyone ever heard or saw Amelia and Noonan. Never found their bodies. There was a case recently where they found some bones off of the island they were supposed to land at. They're trying to do DNA matches and stuff like that to see if it was Noonan. They didn't say it was Earhart because they couldn't figure out where her body is. People have been searching for it for hundreds of years now. About 100 years now, yeah, it's nearly 2020. She disappeared in 79 years. Yeah, about 90 years, sorry. 90 years, my math is slightly off. People have been looking for this woman's body. They never found it. They've been deep sea diving. They've been going on the lands. The theory is this. If they found her body, the bones on land, she died as a castaway. If she was in the sea, she probably died from impact, from the plane crashing. The thing is, though, they've never seen the plane. They've never found the plane, the wreckage of it, whatever it may have been. A lot of people have a theory that she faked her own death to live a brand new life without all the fame, without all that stuff. But why would she do that when she was on the peak of aviation for female pilots? She was on the peak with her book selling. Like, this woman was making a lot of money. This woman was doing things that women couldn't do back then because of how it was in the world. Women were segregated. They were just basically supposed to stay at home, clean and cook for the family, and pop out kids. That's how it was in those days. It isn't like that now, thank goodness. But back in the day, that's how it was. That's why you have a lot of people of the older generation who still treat their wives like shit because they still think that they're in the right and women can't do anything. Again, we're changing that with the new generation, and hopefully we keep that trend up, guys, because we need that trend to continue to make the world a better place. So Amelia Earhart and Noonan just disappear off the face of the earth, and that's it. Now, there's many, many theories. One is the Bermuda Triangle. We all know about the Bermuda Triangle, where you just go in, you completely disappear, and no one knows where you come out of it. Maybe a black hole in the world or something. The Bermuda Triangle is played out. Like, let's be honest, everyone knows about the Bermuda Triangle, blah, blah, blah. So let's talk about some theories that other people have about the death of Amelia Earhart. And you can say it wasn't a death, you can say she didn't die. However, really looking at the facts, you gotta think about it. Even if she survived and she was a castaway, she was gonna die. Because there was no one trying to save her. They tried to do a search party and they couldn't find the plane wreckage. If you can't find the wreckage of the plane, how are you supposed to find the bodies? Like, if a plane just disappears, and this is a plane, this isn't a small thing. Like, this is one of those Wright Brothers kind of looking planes with the four wings and all that shit. This is a big ass machine. So if you can't find that, how the hell are you supposed to find a woman's body and a man's body? You're not going to. Simple as that. That's the unfortunate reality of this scenario. So regardless of if she survived a crash or if she landed somewhere, she died. Because in our books, she died in that time. So the crash and sink theory is where they believe Amelia and Noonan ran out of fuel while they were looking for Howland Island. They decided they would leave the plane at sea and they died at sea. The plane would have carried enough fuel to reach Howland with some extra to spare. The extra fuel would cover some contingencies such as headwinds and the searching for Howland Island. So this theory is that Earhart and Noonan were going around looking for Howland Island, but they couldn't find it. The conditions were too bad, too cloudy, too muddy, too rainy, too murky, whatever it may be. The conditions wasn't good enough for them to discover this island by sight alone. And you've got to remember again, this is back in the early 90s, 1920, 1930. Didn't have the technology we had then. They didn't have radio towers, they had basic handheld ham radios. If you lose connection, you lose signal, you're going to have to find another frequency. I know you all have seen Stranger Things, Season 3, really good season. Towards the end, it was slow, It started to pick up. When Dustin is talking to Susie, they use the ham radio and they have to switch to different frequencies because, and I quote, Dustin was like, oh no, it was interference when he was with Erica. If you haven't watched it, go check it out. Stranger Things on Netflix. It's a really, really good show. So you have to change frequency and you both have to be at the exact same frequency to connect to each other and to talk to each other. That's why truckers still use it, because they have it as basically an access way to talk to other truckers. Amelia Earhart lost communications with the crew. So at this point now, her and Noonan are flying solo. They have to use their vision, they have to use their experience, they have to try and figure out where Howland Island is. If it's murky out there, cloudy, like it is today, where I'm living in Missouri, very cloudy, then you can't see this island. So maybe they were circling, maybe they were looking, they ran out of fuel because they couldn't find the island. They said, fuck it, we're in trouble, let's go into the sea. Best chance of surviving the plane crash is going into the water. It absorbs the impact as best as it can, and let's try and swim to a safety place. People believe that it just didn't happen. They said they were about 200 miles away from Howland Island, trying to find any contact, couldn't find it, and ran out of fuel, crash. They sent out a search team. They looked for the plane. It wasn't on Howland Island. Try saying that five times. Howland Island. Try it at home. Let me know on Twitter or on Instagram. Let me know if you could do it, because I sure as hell couldn't. So they try and figure it out. They sent out a plane to try and discover where she was. They couldn't find her. They couldn't find the plane. Couldn't find the body. They said it was poor planning. They said bad execution. Everything just went to shit, basically. So July 2nd, 1937, is when they said, okay, that's it. She's gone. You know, they just couldn't figure it out. They can't find the body. Like I said, these stories are kind of crazy looking at them and reading them. And that's why I'm kind of like taking a little bit of a break. I'm like, whoa, okay, because I make bullet points before I do the podcast, obviously. I try and research it. But when you're going back over these bullet points, you're really just thinking to yourself, what the fuck were they thinking? They had a single flight plan path. Single flight path planned. Again, try saying that five times. One plan, that was it. They didn't have a contingency plan. They didn't have a backup plan. They only had extra fuel. So what happens when they run out of fuel? They don't have life jackets, they don't have parachutes, they don't have anything like that. If you had a parachute, you had a life jacket, your chances of survival just increased by 50%, surely. You don't have that. You just have fuel on your plane, that's it. So the planning was off. The execution was terrible. Just the two of them, once they lose radio contact, that's it. Amelia told them, we're on a different line, we're going to change to that. And that line never came into fruition, and that was it. So the crash and sink theory is a theory that a lot of people go with, that she just ended up crashing into the ocean, her and Noonan perished, that was that. And then after years and years, the body of Noonan, or the bones, got washed up onto an island, which people found, and then they're trying to do DNA testing to see if it belonged to Noonan. Now, you can't really do DNA testing on something where you don't have the records back then. Back then, they didn't have records like they do now. They don't have face apps and face scanning and recognition, all that stuff. It was just social, and that was it. If you're doing a DNA test, it's going to take a long time to try and figure out if this is the body of Noonan or the body of Earhart. Either way, you're going to figure out what happened. If the body has enough damage, they're going to figure out, hey, they died in the crash, or hey, they survived and they were on an island, they were stranded and they died on the island, or whatever it may be. It may be that Tom Hanks kind of style, you know, with the Castaway and Wilson and all that shit. It could have been like that, and we don't fully know. So that was the crash and sink theory. There's a Garden Island hypothesis, which is another theory, and it assumes that Amelia and Noonan did not find Howland Island. They said, fuck it, we're not going to find it. We're just going to go to a different island. We're running low on fuel. Let's try and figure it out. This is the Gardner Island theory, is that they went to Howland Island. They couldn't make it. They couldn't find it. They said, we're going to take a detour. We're going to go to a different island just to like take base or whatever it may be. But again, this theory has a lot of holes. Now, 1937 is when some people went to Gardner Island with some settlers, and they were walked the island. They couldn't find a plane or any bodies or evidence. 1938, laborers landed on the island and started constructing a settlement. In 1939, they did a survey of the island. So they couldn't find a plane. They couldn't find any bodies. As far as Earhart and Noonan go, they still disappeared. This is until 1940. And 1940, September 23rd, there was a find of a skeleton skull. And the man called Gerald Gallagher sent a message out. He's like, yo, we found a skull. It may be Amelia Earhart's. It looks like it's 4 years old. She disappeared in 1937, so you add the 4 years to that. It kind of makes sense, you know, the time she disappeared to the time of this discovery. They add up. So Gerald sent a message out. They sent the skull to a medical school in Fiji. And they did some research. They definitely did some in-depth research to ensure that they could figure out who or what this skull was. Now, when they did the research, they first turned around and said, this is a skeleton head, the skull is of a male. They found the rest of the body later on, and they sent that to Fiji too. And they said he's got bad bones, he was like less than 45 years old, between that age. And they were like, okay, Fiji, it's Fiji, you know, we'll take your word for it. It is what it is, so this is with Earhart, this is somebody else. We can't find her body still, it is what it is. That was until 1998. They found the skull again, and anthropologists did stuff on the skeleton, like to check its ancestry, all that good stuff. They said it had European ancestry and it was a white female. So now we've gone from a white male to a white female, and a male between 45 and 55 to a female of Northern European descent. This is where it got interesting for a lot of people. They was like, well, shit, that's got to be Earhart's body. That has to be it. A white female, you know, looking a European descent, that has to be her. Now, everyone was confused about this because, like we said, Fuji said it was a male, and now anthropologists are saying it's a female. Both analyses in 2015 were concluded that the most robust scientific analysis and conclusions of those of original British finding indicate that the bones belong to a robust, middle-aged male, not Amelia Earhart. So now these anthropologists look like dumbasses because they said it was a female. They were trying to find basically the story. They were trying to find Earhart. They were trying to make it up so we could put this case to rest. But it wasn't Earhart. It was a middle-aged male of European descent. So it wasn't Noonan either. So they weren't sure who this body belonged to. So then in 2018, a study by an American anthropologist estimated the size of Earhart's skeleton based on pictures, photographs, and reanalyzed the data using modern forensic techniques. Based on measurements of 2,700 Americans who died in the mid-20th century, the study concluded that Earhart bones measurements most closely matched the Nikumaru bones than 99% of a reference sample. So the Nikumaru bones are the ones that they found. They said they were male, then they were female, then they were male again. Now they're saying they're Earhart's again. Other people criticized this study being based on little factual evidence because all he was doing was basically measuring other people and saying, hey, this could be her body based on these measurements that I'm taking. It is her. And people are like, well, that's not how you do science. That isn't science. Science is by using actual information, not by guessing. That's a hypothesis. That isn't a fact. Okay, so science is always up to interpretation. And this is something else I learned from Dr. Stone. You can't argue science. I don't care who you are, what you believe in. You cannot argue science. You cannot argue that this bones are from Earhart if you don't have the factual evidence. They have evidence saying that these bones could belong to anybody at this point. You're just saying they belong to Earhart just to try and get some, as the kids say, some clout. So you can't argue with science. Simple as that. Now, in 2017, they found a pattern, a sexton box. They found quite a few things, actually. And they still don't know if it belonged to Earhart. They found all this random shit and they said, oh, it could belong to actually people, settlers or something like that. There's no evidence of it being Earhart's. So they got a lot more people interested because they're finding all this new stuff, but they're still not finding the body and they're still not finding the plane. They found a rivet that may or may not belong to a plane. It was too rusted up, it was too damaged for them to really have a conclusion. So they were saying, okay, well, you know, it could be anything. Could have been washed up, could have been on shore, blah, blah, blah. The bones could have been from somebody who got stranded and then ended up dying on the island. They don't know. So the theory still continues to this day about Earhart's disappearance. The last two theories regarding Amelia are definitely the most interesting ones. The first one is the Japanese capture theory, in that she actually mistakenly made it to the South Pacific Mandate of Japan and she got captured by the Japanese. Now, during this time, this was on the brink of World War II. You have to remember, in World War II, it was a lot of tension between a lot of countries. And this theory makes a lot of sense because when you think about it, if Japan managed to capture Amelia Earhart, the pioneer aviator, the living legend herself, What leverage does that give the Japanese in the war? That gives them a big-ass leverage of her being captured. The theory goes like this. Amelia made it to the Mandate of Japan. The Japanese found her and captured her. They then spoke to the United States government, and the US government said, "We don't care, you can keep her. We're not negotiating with you." Kind of the whole George Bush, "We're not negotiating with terrorists" kind of thing. Listen, America stuck to its guns back then, and they said to Japan, "Hey, take her, do what you want with her, have fun, we're going to deny everything." So the rumor has it that the Japanese actually captured Amelia, and then after they tried to discuss stuff with America, the Americans were like, "No, we're not doing it, suck it." You know, basically they were saying, "Whatever, you can do whatever you want." And that was the end of the discussion. The Japanese killed her, or they kept her in the jail for the rest of her life. America didn't budge, and that's the Japanese theory. Now, in 2017, there was a documentary on the History Channel called Amelia Earhart, The Lost Evidence. And it proposed that after she was captured, there was a picture of a Caucasian male on a dock who looked like Newman, and a woman sitting on the dock but facing away from the camera who looked like Earhart with her physical features, but yet because they couldn't see the face, they couldn't be certain for sure. So this always led to the rumor that Amelia was captured by the Japanese and they took her away, and that's when the negotiations started right before World War II, and that was basically the end of her life. Now she's living in Japan, or killed in Japan, or whatever it may be. The last theory is the Irene Bolam theory, and the rumor is Irene Craigmile Bolam was born 1904. She was a New York City banker and a resident of New Jersey. Okay, hear me out on this. 1965, there was a man who was invited to speak at a gathering of retired pilots. His name was Joseph Gervais. He was introduced to this woman by one of Earhart's friends, and Gervais said, "She looks like an older version of Earhart." And he was like very convinced that this was Amelia, and he actually got sued by Irene and her family for $1.5 million and a affidavit refuting the claim, because he published a book saying Amelia Earhart is still alive. This obviously upset Irene and her family, who was just trying to live a normal life, trying to be a banker in New York, trying to live in Jersey, just trying to live her daily life. Now she had a book published on her saying, "Hey, this is actually Amelia Earhart." And the theory goes like this. During the travel that Earhart was doing to go to the island of Howland Island, she did a U-turn halfway down the flight path and went back to New York, and she wanted to start a new life under a different identity, under a different alias, and just kind of get away from everything. So the rumor is that after she turned around, she went down to New York City to start a new life and just kind of relax and try and get away from all of the drama. Now, it should be noted in the aforementioned court documentation in the affidavit, a lot of Irene Bolam's life was made public so she could deny that she was Earhart. It basically eliminated this theory. It said she got a private pilot's license in 1937 and a marriage certificate. Her personal life was also a matter of public record. She married Charles Craigmile and he died in 1931. She married another man called Alvin Heller in 1933. They had two kids. They got the marriage annulled, and she married in 1958 to Guy Blowham. She was a pilot who claimed to have known Amelia Earhart. Her main career from the mid-1940s on revolved around banking and finance in New York. Many mutual friends have said they knew Earhart and Bolam. Okay, so now all this information is made public. Bolam's basically like, "Listen, I'm not Earhart. I was friends with her. You know, we looked alike. We got that a lot, blah, blah, blah." Bolam died in 1982 in New York. And Gervais, the man who said she was Earhart, asked permission to photograph and fingerprint the body, but his permission was denied. So now they're saying, okay, well, you can't look at this body and you can't take fingerprints of it, which obviously had more suspicion to the theorists who said that Irene and Amelia are one and the same. 2006, a criminal forensic expert was hired to study photos of Earhart and Bolam, and cited many measurable facial differences between them, including that two people were not the same. So they're saying now, listen, they're not the same. Just back then, they looked the same. They, you know, they had the same kind of stature, the same kind of weight, the same age range. So the rumors were basically put to rest. However, In 1970, there was three books that were published, continuing to claim that Bolam and Earhart are the same person. They were titled Stand By to Die by Robert Myers and Barbara Wiley, Amelia Earhart Survived by Rollin C. Reineck, and in 2016, Amelia Earhart Beyond the Grave by W.C. Jameson was published. All three of these authors still claim that Irene was Amelia Earhart, even though there has been features and everything else saying, listen, they were different people, they didn't exist, she died somewhere else. So many theories with Amelia Earhart and with Noonan, both of them subsequently dead now, and it's one of those things where, again, it's up to interpretation on what you do or don't believe. Personally, I believe if Earhart was going to go that route on the plane, there's no doubt in my mind they ran out of fuel, she went into the ocean or into the land, something happened to the plane, it got scattered across and the bodies were never found. That's the easiest thing to come to a conclusion to. There's other theories saying that they went through a time warp or they went through a parallel universe. I'm not going to get into those theories because we could be here for hours discussing that kind of stuff. And we don't want to be here discussing all of that. That could take us hours upon hours to discuss the universes and stuff like that. We've done that in previous podcasts where we kind of discussed parallel universes and time universes and all that good stuff. That's another theory they've had. Like I said, the Bermuda Triangle theory, where they just disappear into nowhere and come out the other side somewhere, kind of like a black hole vacuuming in a person and spitting them out somewhere else. We don't know where black holes go. 9 times out of 10, people don't know what happens when they go into the Bermuda Triangle. Easily could be a theory that they use regarding Amelia Earhart and Noonan about how they essentially just disappeared off the face of the earth and were never to be seen again. So Amelia Earhart's technical death was the date of her disappearance in 1937, and as far as everyone else is considered or convinced, that is the end of that discussion. She is gone. They're never going to know what happened to her, and it's an unfortunate thing, but it is the time we live in. So we're going to start winding down the podcast. The last person we are going to talk about is Green Boots. If you don't know about Green Boots, we're going to learn a little bit about him here. Not as much about him as we did Earhart and Noonan, but nonetheless, still an interesting topic and a more recent one. So let's get into the disappearance and death of Green Boots. So our final subject today is the disappearance and death of Green Boots. Now, Green Boots is the name given to an unidentified corpse of a climber who was on the northeast ridge route of Mount Everest. He became a landmark of what, somewhat, which is kind of morbid when you think about it, that this corpse is now a landmark. People didn't touch it for a while, they just let it sit in the snow and be frozen. But the reason he was called Green Boots was obviously because of his bright green boots. He had a red jacket, reddish-orange kind of jacket, blue ski pants, and those infamous neon-colored green boots. They believe he was an Indian climber called, now if I'm going to butcher this name, Swayang Pajiro. And he was a climber who died in 1996 on Mount Everest. They never confirmed that his body was indeed the Green Boots corpse. They didn't have enough physical evidence to do a DNA test or to do testing like that to figure out who he actually was, but it was assumed that he was this Indian man who was hiking. Now, they also had another climber die in 2006 by the name of David Sharp. He died during a solo climb in what was known now as Green Boots Cave. Green Boots Cave is where the body was found, and obviously as well David Sharp's body was found, so it was infamous for the bodies basically being there, so they called it Green Boots Cave because that's where originally Green Boots' body was found. In 2014, they reported Green Boots was missing, so somebody actually picked up the body to remove it or bury it, whatever they did, the body was missing. Like we said earlier, it was a landmark of that Everest side. People just let the body be, they left it, but somebody decided to pick it up and remove it. So Green Boots was reported missing in 2014, so 20 years after this man originally died, now he's just being reported missing. But here's where it gets interesting, because in 2017, a bunch of climbers were on that exact road where Green Boots' body was, and they noticed his body again. It was at the same altitude, and it was in the exact same position. So people said that it could have just been covered by a few rocks or something like that. So maybe somebody kicked some rocks on him, try and give him like a mini burial or something like that. They're not really sure, but they found the body again after 3 years. Which means to this day, Green Boots is still in the same position he was when he died in 1996. The first recorded video footage of Green Boots was filmed on May 21st in 2001 by a French climber. It showed the body of Green Boots lying on his left side, facing towards the summit. The videographer said that he was tempted to look at the body and to move it, but he decided against it. He thought it was of a Chinese mountaineer, even though we have gone in record and saying it was this Indian climber earlier. The corpse became known both as a landmark of the North Route and for its association with the death of David Sharp. Now, we talked about the disappearance of the body in 2014 and then it returning in 2017. People have speculated that Green Boots has actually been moved and transported to a different location or slightly moved from his original death position because they took the body to do testing on it or something like that. But people are definitely saying that the body was moved and that something is wrong. And they're not sure what, but that's one of the theories, that the body was taken away by the government, tested on, and then put back because they didn't want to raise any suspicions. Like we said earlier, the body is believed to be the Indian climber, I cannot pronounce his name, Sewang Palijor, and it is believed he died in the 1996 Everest disaster. Now, the Everest disaster caught 8 people in a blizzard and killed all of them. 12 people died trying to reach the summit during this disaster in 1996. So it is believed that this Indian climber, who I'm just going to call him the Indian climber because I cannot keep trying to pronounce his name because I won't be able to, got caught in the Everest disaster in 96. It killed him. All the other bodies were swept away or taken away. There's a lot of bodies in Mount Everest that people still haven't found to this day because of how treacherous the climb is. And yes, I used the big word there. So look it up if you want. So a lot of bodies in Mount Everest still haven't been found to this day. So many people are still declared missing as they go on the Everest climb because there's so much snow, the conditions are treacherous, the weather's bad. Obviously, you're going up a mountain, it's going to be really fucking slick and slippery. It's going to be ice and snow. That's what a mountain is. So a lot of people don't want to go up there. And the altitude of Mount Everest is that high. 9 times out of 10, you're going to need an oxygen mask or an oxygen tank. And yes, unless you're an experienced climber who can do that. So a lot of people have died trying to make the Everest trip. That's why when people conquer it, you hear about it non-stop. Kind of like those people who do CrossFit. As of to this day, there is over 200 corpses still estimated to be on Mount Everest that have yet to be discovered. So that really tells you how dangerous this trip is. Dorje Murup is another name associated with Green Boots. Even though it's commonly believed that it is the Indian climber, it is also believed that Dorje Murup may actually be Green Boots. And the reason that it's said is because the person's hands, whose body was found, didn't have gloves on, and that was something that Murup did a lot. He didn't put gloves on, he ended up getting frostbite from his hands constantly, and he was finding difficulty in unclipping safety carabiner. And in that way, he is really letting himself down because his anchor points are gone during the travel up the hill, which can effectively just lead to straight falling and inevitable death, especially if you're 7,000-8,000 feet above the land. So the Japanese team tried to help him transition to the next stretch of rope and whatever and etc. to try and teach him how to get up this hill, but obviously he didn't make it, and they believe Green Boots could be this man's body. So that's another theory that people have. So the body is still not identified, which is kind of ridiculous when you think about it. Surely they should remove the body by now. I feel like they're afraid to move it because of the ice, because of the snow. It might break the body, so they just kind of leave it there. There are a lot of bodies that are found in an area called Rainbow Valley of Mount Everest. It's an area that has a bunch of corpses. They're all wearing bright colored apparel, and they just leave the bodies there. And that's something that I can't fathom, that they just leave the bodies on Mount Everest instead of taking them down and like burying them or removing them, because they know who most of these people are. They know who the bodies are of most of these people, that the David Sharp body, they know his body. The people on Rainbow Valley, they know who their bodies are. There's a couple of German mountaineers, there's some Italians, some Irish. They know the names of these people and they know their families, but they still continue to leave the bodies on Mount Everest. So why are they not removing them or like being like, yo, listen, I mean, I don't exactly think it's going to be a thing where people are like, oh shit, there's a body there, I should probably turn around and go. Because if they're going to try and climb the mountain, they're going to try and climb it regardless. A body isn't going to deter them. So it's not really doing anything. So this isn't Logan Paul. This isn't a video of where, let me just film a body in a suicide tree. Don't go to Everest and film the bodies, obviously. And if you're listening, and I highly doubt anyone is from Everest or something, get the bodies out of there, bury them, give them like a proper burial. They don't need to be left for all eternity in the middle of snow. Like I said, this isn't Logan Paul. We're not trying to make money off of corpses here. So winding down from the green boots theory and disappearance, the unidentification of him because he's never been identified, let's round up like we usually do with a This Time Online. Just to talk about the rest of the things online, there's a couple more things that have happened while we've been recording that we can discuss. So we're going to discuss those and we're going to end the podcast after that. Again, if you want more of these theories, these unidentified people, murders, conspiracies, all that, let me know on anchor.fm, leave me a voice message, send me a tweet at ilikeTattedChef. We have our Instagram page, like I said before, at The Synopsis Podcast. You can reach us all on there, comment on the new picture, let me know what you guys want to see. We're going to wind it down with This Time Online, and we have a couple more things to talk about what happened online today, and then we will be out of here, guys. So stay tuned right after this. So winding down, we're going to talk about a couple of things online. The first thing being the video in New York City of a motorcycle backfiring and everybody fleeing thinking it's an active shooter. This is the world we're now living in, guys. And we discussed at the start of the podcast where we need to try and work on things, make things a little bit better. Everyone in this country right now seems to have PTSD from gun shootings or violence or something like that. If we're at a point where a motorcycle backfires and we think it's an active shooter, and this video is online, a lot of people are cowering, a lot of people are just ducking and hoping for the best. This isn't how the world is supposed to be. We shouldn't be worried to go outside, we shouldn't be worried to go to our own stores, we shouldn't be worried to do anything. We need to get the world back to how it used to be, where there wasn't that much fear. So if that video has been on your Twitter, on your Instagram, or whatever it may be, check it out, look at it, and just look at how the world has changed in the last 10-15 years. And really take that in, because at the end of the day, that's what we're living in right now. People are scared of motorcycles, and that's kind of sad. With that being said, let's try and end this on a good note. Today on Twitter is International Cat Day, so if you have cats like myself, I have two. I have a calico and a feral orange tabby, I think he is. No, found him on the street. He licks, he purrs, that's what he does. So if you have your cat, go get him a treat, go get him a hammock, I don't know, do something fun for the kitties. And obviously we all know Dora the Explorer movie is in theaters tonight, the live action one. So for all you kiddos out there who want to see Dora the Explorer, you can check her out there. Trending as well in the US, we had the ICE raids, we spoke about that, the Mississippi food processing plant, where the 680 people were arrested. Again, we all know my thoughts on that. We're not going to go into discuss them. And that's pretty much everything that's really happening on Twitter today, on Instagram as well. So thank you for listening, guys. We're going to kind of just wind it down here. Remember, even if it's not International Cat Day, still get your animals something. Me personally, me and my wife, or my wife and I, sorry for you English critics out there, just purchased a hammock that will stick to the window so the kitty can just lay on the hammock, look outside the window instead of both of them sharing the big ass cat tree that we have. So we might put the hammock inside the bedroom or something. They seem to like the bedroom windows. Then that way they can look outside and meow at the birds and the moles and the, maybe even the snakes that appear randomly in our yard from time to time. I really need to do something about that. With that being said, guys, thank you again for listening. We appreciate everything you do, our sponsorships, our supporters. You can always support us on the Spotify link that we have, or the Apple Podcast. Just hit that button that says support The Synopsis. It's going to be as little as 99 cents per month, up to $10.99 a month. Shout out again to Mr. Tim for doing the $4.99 supporter. We appreciate that. It's helping with our equipment. We've got a new little setup that we're trying, so hopefully it sounds a lot better. And we're going to have a new episode for you on Monday, like we do, hopefully three times a week now. So Monday, new episode. Stay tuned. Thank you for listening to The Synopsis. Goodbye.